on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating! It's sensational! It's Seattle Sounders FC Soccer!
Roberto!
Welcome to Sounder Scuttlebutt. I'm Aaron Lingley, and as always, I'm joined by your president of the Alliance Council, your president of Guerrilla FC, and the communications director for the Independent Supporters Council, my friend Cameron Collins. Knock that out of the park. There we go. How you doing, my friend?
Doing pretty good, I guess, considering the state of Sounders land. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much. It's been... What, has it been 2 weeks since we recorded?
Yeah.
13 days. I think we recorded on a Wednesday. It's been a jam-packed pretty much week of soccer, right? We've had a week and a half of soccer for the Sounders. We played Vancouver, San Jose, and FC Dallas, all with varying results, right? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we want some consistency out of that. So we're recording on Tuesday, the 18th. As the MLS Skills Challenge has been now completed. So along with maybe some MLS All-Star stuff, what's some other scuttlebutt we should talk about to start the show?
Oh, we are coming up on Taylor Swift weekend in Seattle.
And Blue Jay weekend.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that. That's the worst weekend. I'm sorry. If you are from Vancouver and you're rooting for Toronto, you do not get to root for the Seahawks. You're done. That's not how this works. Like, you would never root for the Maple Leafs, yet you root for the Blue Jays. Get the F out of here. No way. But more importantly, they just did an economic impact on what Taylor Swift did last weekend in Denver. And her 2 days in Denver made $40 million a day for, like, economic impact in the city. So... if you're going, I want to get rid of them. I hate going to the games against the Blue Jays. They have tickets for Friday night. I don't particularly want to go. But if you're going, expect it to be crazy Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, man. They had to move the game on Saturday to 1:10 because of the Swifties. $400 million. Man, that's a...
$40
million. Oh, okay.
But still, $40 million a day times 2 days is $80
million. Yeah, no, that's... That's money I could do something with. What are you drinking there? Just some regular old water?
Well, yeah, it's a root beer. Diet root beer.
What kind of root beer?
Barks. It has bite.
I was going to say. It better be Barks. Or A&W. I like A&W.
Those are the two I usually drink. Every once in a while, I'll drink the other one that I can't think of. But what about you?
I'm drinking a beer. Just a normal beer, as I usually do. But it's Ruben's Brews. Our friends... Oh. Friends of Rubens. I'm drinking a Pilsner, bringing out my my Czechness.
Oh, hi, yeah. Friend of Gorilla FC, Rubens Brews. Go check them out.
And Ballard FC.
Yep.
Good old Pils.
Ballard FC, they're in the playoffs. I think they just played their last regular season game and won.
Good for them.
Yeah, it's quite a year for them. So exciting news, and yeah, I don't know what else is going on around the Seattle area. We have nice weather for a change. Not too hot, not too cold. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, this week has been nice. And it's funny, like, so I spent like a year and a half without AC in my car because you only really need it for like that 2 months. And yeah, it's brutal last year. But what also sucks is like I'm not putting my daughter in the car if it's 90 degrees because I don't have AC. So I got that fixed a week and a half ago. I don't know if I brought it up on the last show. And it has been a game changer. Even though I do like the windows down, but like an hour and a half, hour on I-5, 85 degrees, it feels like 95. Been killing me. So the weather this week has been nice. I haven't really needed the AC. I can roll the windows down, but it's been very comfortable.
I have this brilliant thing that I've always seen seat heaters, but this is the first car I've ever had that had seat coolers.
Ooh.
And so it blows air conditioning like on me from my seat. I love it.
Oh, blows air. I was thinking of like a cooling pad. It blows cool
air. It's like the same way it heats you up, whereas no, like the whole, your whole back and where you're sitting. Yeah. Air comes up through the little holes in it. So it cools you off.
I need to see this. I want that.
Just the same as like the seat heaters in the car.
I can picture it, but I need to see like where I can buy it or just take yours.
Oh, it's built into my seats. It's part of the car.
Oh, did you get a new car?
No, same one I've had since during the pandemic. It's relatively new. It's like 2 years old.
Really?
Yeah.
Am I just terrible at cars? Don't you have like a CRV or a what do you?
Yeah,
have?
Hyundai Tucson.
Hyundai. It has air, cold air blowing out of the chairs.
Yes, yeah, turbo model. Yeah, it's weird. The turbo model.
Okay. Wow. All the upgrades. Got a luxury Hyundai. Didn't think those existed.
They do actually. They have their own brand. Genesis is their brand. That's like their Lexus or whatever, but they're newer. So they made some of the old ones nice.
Hold on a ticket. Last year, before the Champions Gala, you invited me. We went, but before the show, Houston, like Dynalytics, asked us to be on the show.
Yeah,
and was that them?
Yeah.
Oh, or was it?
No, it was them. It was Houston.
No, it was another one because it was the guys that reached out to me like 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
they don't listen to the show. Sorry, dudes. Yeah. Sorry, guys. There's more than one, I guess. God, I'm sounding like a dick. Anyway, but we were in your car for like 35 minutes in May, and it was warm. I was sweating my ass off. We could have just we could have had cold air blowing down our butt cracks.
I don't know that the passenger side has it.
Well, then thank you for not doing it and making me feel jealous. But anyway, enough with blowing air up our butts. Yeah, what's going on? We have MLS All-Star Game. How much do we want to talk about that? That's tomorrow. By the time people are listening to this, they're either commuting home and then they're going to watch it or they've already watched it. How excited are you for it?
I not only did I not even really know it was happening other than Jordan being on the team, didn't even know it was in Washington, D.C. until yesterday. So
didn't know that until now.
And I have zero interest in it. I feel like they need to go back. If they're not going to play a team from, we talked about this before, I think. Mm-hmm. If they're not going to play a team from Mexico, they need to go back to East versus West.
I think we'll end it after my thought because we have the League's Cup now. So that's why there's no Mexico, right? I don't know if that's why there's no Mexico, but there'd be no point to have an All-Star game 4, 5, 7 days before we're playing all their teams anyway. But just, I think, put more emphasis on the East-West, or however, keep it within the league. I really love how MLB does it, not saying you can really do it the same way. NBA is still kind of fun, I guess, but still a little gimmicky. But there's a way to do a soccer all-star game and not have it be what the Pro Bowls turn into, and also not have it be some... this is too exhibition-y for me. I want to see all our all-stars versus our all-stars. That's kind of the point, with an incentive that helps the league itself as well. Either the clubs that have players that want it or the conference... something, but I agree. Let's keep it in-house. Put money into it. Market it. Invest in it. Make it competitive, however.
Yeah. But I mean, you look at how Major League Baseball has done the MLB All-Star Weekend, and I feel like they should do something similar, but it's a lost opportunity. Although I don't think had that happened last time we talked because on this podcast, because I thought I was pretty disappointed in the way the Mariners handled in-game presentation, especially for the Home Run Derby. It was, there was none. It was,
we haven't done a show since All-Star Game.
Yeah, it was, All-Star Game was super fun, but
yeah, we both went.
Yeah. You had 100 level amazing seats because you came besties with Harold Reynolds.
And friends.
But yeah. And I had a blocked view seat that they sold me at full price, and which was fine for the All-Star Game because I could stand up or lean forward. But for the Home Run Derby, when all my view is like the pitcher's mound to home and everything's being hit to left field.
To left field where the wall was. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty silly. And they didn't interview anyone on the big screen during the game. It was all TV stuff. For the Home Run Derby, there was no show other than announcing the players.
I was curious how that was. My choice was the Home Run Derby or the All-Star Game. And 40 years from now, I'm going to know, unless Julio won the whole thing. I'm going to say I was at the All-Star Game.
Yeah, plus,
I went to the Home Run Derby when I was like 14 or whatever.
Yeah, but I was there then too.
But to help the listeners picture where you were sitting, did you tweet out where you were sitting, or did you just text it to me and other people?
I think I tweeted at the time. Yeah,
you should try to find it and send it in the chat so I can put in the show description. Otherwise, join our Discord and ask Cameron to see the photo, because it is pretty funny. You were right behind home plate, 300 level, and there is just like this wall directly to your left. It's so basically it's the support for the
the edge of the. It's absolutely ridiculous. And
right, so click your show notes now.
Yeah, just I couldn't. The fact that they would sell that as a full price ticket too is just so absurd. I keep forgetting to call my ticket rep because I last year I signed up for a flex plan, gave them $600 and spent it, and then I did it again this year and they made me give them $700 just to get tickets to this game, and then for it to not have this in there was truly. Truly absurd. So yeah, I'm. That may be another reason why I'm a little frustrated with
it. I'm considering there's more than one of those support column beam situations along the perimeter there of the 300 level. That's probably the worst one to be at because it cuts off.
Yeah, the other ones are fine. I sit by them all the time. Like I've never had that issue before. That's just that one. It's kind of
crazy. We were at least on the inside of the one on first base side when I went with you and your dad for the playoff game.
Yeah, that was fine.
Yeah, that was fine. That's hilarious. Anyway, that sucks. But yeah, we were there. The game was a blast. I had fun.
Yeah.
And for context, basically Harold Reynolds, and I feel bad I don't remember the organization that he was supporting, but basically it's kind of like brings dreams, comes like they build fields for people of all ages to actually kind of reenact being a baseball player, like, or something like that. So that sounded cool, but these guys actually are involved in that foundation. They were on the light rail because they were too busy buying swag throughout downtown and at the play field or play ball area, whatever. So they had just swag on swag on swag, baseballs, memorabilia, all this shit just decked out. So they missed being able to get in early with Harold and like do stuff, I guess. So they were just on the train, and my mom, being a hairdresser, her entire career, talks to everyone, and we had been drinking. So we're talking to them, shooting the shit, basically, and they're like, oh, you guys are awesome. Here's our number, yada, yada, yada. And we're up at the 300 level. We took a picture, sent it to them, be like, hey, this is our number. We're real. Thanks for having fun with us, and I'll see you when I go to L.A. Also Laker fans, so that helped. And they said about the sixth inning, like, hey, we got some seats next to us, and they're pro, I don't know. We were probably like 20 rows behind Diamond Club. on the just left. So I was like right behind Julio when he should have won the whole damn thing.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I've been to the point now where I prefer to be up top because there's more room. You can, but that's not true with those games. If I had a choice in a regular game, I would rather be like where I was sitting. But for a game like that where it's every seat's taken, you know, I think you got the awesome hookup right there.
Yeah, and an exciting part of the match. Maybe that means we should get back to soccer. All right, so let's do some scuttlebutt from our friendly listeners and our Discord. Again, link is in the show description. Our group keeps growing. Let's do some non-Sounders related ones for now, because the second half of our show traditionally is about the Sounders, and we'll sprinkle in some scuttlebutt from you guys when we get to it. How about big news? Big regional news. There's some more barks for you. Reign FC, they have some players going to the World Cup. So Combat Wombat Esquire would like us to talk about, even though it's not Sounders, this is regional, very important. There are, at the time when he said this, 7 Reign players at the World Cup. That got brought up. Not 7 to the U.S. Women's National Team, but I think we actually counted 8. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's yesterday, one more was added. Midfielder Angelina Brazil. Was added because of an injury. Not yesterday, earlier today, she got added.
Congratulations.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So who else is going besides Angelina?
We have... I think
there's 2 Canadians. I can already have them pulled up. We got Quinn,
right,
and Jordan Huitema.
Yeah,
going to Canada.
I was trying to see if we had any more Brazilians, but no. So the rest of the U.S. I suppose players.
There's 5 of them.
Who are Alana Cook, Sofia Huerta, Rose Lavelle, Emily Sonnet, and of course making her last appearance with the U.S. women's national team, barring a, why am I blinking on the name, where they have those special charity match, barring a charity match, Megan Rapinoe.
Yeah, so 2 big things there. 1, 8 World Cup players on the Reign. That's fantastic. 5 of them from the women's national team. So women's national team light in Seattle. Fantastic. Congrats to all of them.
We definitely... have the most of any NWSL team. There's 2 with 4.
Oh, you found
we are. Yeah, but we're definitely number 1.
Hell yeah. And speaking of number 1, in all our hearts for over, what is it, almost 2 decades now? When did Megan Rapinoe jump on the scene? Feel bad.
Seems about right. I mean, she played for Seattle Sounders women way back in the day before coming back, of course, and joining, I guess, were we already OL Reign when she came, or Seattle Reign, which is interesting because I'm wondering if we're going back to Seattle Reign because OL Olympic Lyonnais is selling the team. And so we will no longer be OL Reign. We'll definitely be something else. I'm curious what we will be hopefully we can go back to Seattle now that we're playing at home.
Yeah, that'd be cool. So she debuted in 2006. She's nice. 1 match shy of 200 all time. 63 goals, 73 assists. Hell yeah, girl.
That's awesome.
So basically the first match of the World Cup will be her 200th.
Wow.
And of course we're favorite to win, I believe. I'm totally assuming that, but I think we are.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I mean, Germany's looking really good. Of course, France, even though Germany lost to Zambia in a friendly right beforehand. France, that French team is exciting. They're going to dominate for decades to come. So, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing them. And, of course, I have a friend from Zambia, so the fact they made it's really cool. So I'm rooting for Zambia as well.
I don't know. Are you going to be following it? Because I admit it was kind of hard for me to follow, like, be live for a lot of the men's World Cup, but I've always been a lot more into the women's World Cup, even before getting really into the Sounders. It was just, I think it's really good quality soccer. We've obviously been the best team for almost two decades now, over that maybe. So
I'm definitely going to be tuned in. The games typically start.
I probably won't be live, but I will be trying to watch every single match.
Yeah, so we play Vietnam at 6 p.m. on Friday. Yeah, I mean, I think some of the games start at like a midnight game. I could do 3 a.m. gets a little rough. If it were 2, I could handle it. Let's see, all the USA matches. France and Jamaica is at 3 a.m. I don't know if I'm going to make that. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be fun. I'm going to try and watch. I mean, I'll watch the USA games, but I'm going to try and watch more than just USA. I want to see some underdogs. And, of course, I want to watch Zambia destroy Costa Rica on Monday, July 31st at midnight.
I feel stupid. Where are they? Where's this being hosted?
Australia and New Zealand.
Oh.
That's why it's so time-wise different. Yeah, I might throw some more soccer on the Bobby. That's such a terrible Australian accent.
Although, that Australian's always been difficult for me. I think I'm fairly good at accents. If I at least get a little practice on them. But Australia, I always get mesh Scottish and just standard British and mess that up. And, and I just give up. Anyway.
Speaking of accents, we have something very special coming up with the Sounders this Saturday. Make sure you are tuned in to KJR for the broadcast, as opposed to listening through your television, because the one and only Jackson Feltz is making his play-by-play debut
for the Seattle Sounders.
Yes, dude. I'm so excited. He texted me the other day and told me about it, and then they announced it today. So
who's he doing it with? Who's coloring?
Steve Zakuani. So it's so good, man. Especially good.
Steve's nice and chill to be partnered with.
Yeah, for sure. That's good. Both, you know, people I've gotten to know, and they're both good people. So I'm super excited for Jackson. He of course did the color commentary on the Scuttlebutt sessions with the Supersonics that I did. I did the color commentary. He did.
Yeah, he did play-by-play.
Yeah, so this is a chance for him to bust it out full-time and do it. Clearly, Danny Jackson's away, and I am so excited. So everyone, you need to tune into KJR for that, because this is truly a great moment for Seattle and a great moment for this podcast, where we discovered the Sounders play-by-play new play-by-play man, at least for one match before everyone else.
Well, no, I had him for the simulation league. So if there's like OG Scuttlebutters that they were
like Andrew Harvey, right?
Exactly. So he did color, and Andrew Harvey did play-by-play for basically, what do we do, like 8 or 9 games of what the regular season would have been. We did it every Saturday, whatever the match would have been that week. During 2020, I recreated the whole league using FIFA. Totally let it sim on its own and did a table and everything. So not that anyone wants to go relive probably 20 hours of Jackson and Andrew, but that was a fun project. And then that's what spurred on me reaching out to you to do the Sonics all-time versus OKC, quote-unquote, all-time. Which actually ultimately led to us sitting here together. That was our first, we had like a, 2-hour Zoom or G meet just to talk about that basketball idea. I drank a half a bottle of scotch and here we are. I'm still drinking.
Yeah, here we are talking about another weekend without F1. Come on, what are they doing? If they want to keep people interested, you can't just have random 3-week breaks in the middle of the season, especially silly season when we're about to see Daniel Ricciardo get back into a car.
I know, right? And if we want to keep people listening to this podcast, we better stop talking about F1.
So yeah, listen to the Sounders match on KJR this weekend. And
that's awesome. Congrats, Jackson.
Yeah, Jackson, do it. I'm so excited, man. Congratulations.
And I will link the channel that I made that has basically all of those MLS matches, our OKC Sonics game, as well as some of the I'm bored, I want to make videos last summer, things that I made that were kind of sounder related and one Russell Wilson related. So I'll link that in the show description so you can kind of get a taste of what you're going to listen to on Saturday. If you have any reservations about how Jackson will do, listen to those, watch those, and you realize this is what he was meant to do. So congrats, buddy. All right. How about, let's go back to All-Star for a second. MLS. How do you feel about the goalkeeper wars? The goalie wars. Do you see that?
I don't know what that is.
Skills competition. So basically they put the nets, the goals about, I want to say 20, 30 yards apart. Right. So think dodgeball with just a keeper on either side. And they're trying to save the other one from either kicking or throwing it into the goal. But there's enough space that it's not like, it's basically like a penalty.
So is it like home run derby where there's people kinda, that are taking but it's part basically
like,
it that aren't
it's
in the kind
of more like crossfire with one ball. You're just trying to keep the ball out of your side. And then if they score or miss, then it's your turn and you're just one at a time. So I guess crossfire is a bad example, but it's just an awesome game to play in the
I meant more like, can people or goalkeepers taking part in it that are not on the main roster? Or
oh, I don't know anything about that. I didn't even know where it was being played, just like you. So I just was quickly going through some like quick highlights. I stopped on that one. I didn't even remember.
Yeah,
what
that's,
I watched,
that seems pretty cool.
That, that's kind of fun. I would actually like to do that just now with someone. Yeah. But all right, well, if you didn't know anything about it, we'll move on. We got the players in the World Cup.
All I know is we want some. I want the bunt, the baseball bunt competition, like the home run derby, the bunt derby that they do in Korea. And you could do something similar in soccer, where it's like you have to kick it all the way across the field and land it on the spot.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, if MLB tried to do a skills bunt competition, they would suck at it because no one can seem to get a bunt down in this league. But
yeah, they should though. Make it good.
Make it good. So, rain players in the World Cup, Rapinoe retiring, All-Star jibber-jabba. Let's see, what else we got up here? Any updates on the Providence sponsorship situation? So, this is definitely a Alliance Council President kind of question. Mm-hmm. Let's see, I'm going to just hand that over to you. This is from Seed97 on our Discord.
Was there ever follow-up on that?
Yes, there was.
I had asked for...
Okay, I thought you might have read that, because I'm going to hand it over to you, because you asked for a little bit of follow-up, or what do you mean by positive change? So, I'll read what he says, and then I'll let you kind of synopsis maybe what his response is, so I'll give you a chance to read it. Any updates on the Providence sponsorship situation? Is that essentially a cooked goose, or are there any signs that positive change could take place? Maybe I also live under a rock, but I haven't heard much about it for several months now. You don't live under a rock, Seed 97. I haven't heard much either. You asked kind of what he meant by positive change. He said, I'll think about it. And if you've had, did yet have a chance to read his response, so you can kind of summarize it. So basically, for me, positive change would ideally be moving on from Providence altogether. As unrealistic as that might be, is there any possibility of the Sounders actually being able to end the contract early? For instance, if they found a more palatable shirt sponsor willing to pay a comparable fee, and if there was enough negative press surrounding Providence that they felt like they weren't getting any value out of the deal, could there be a mutual termination?
I mean, they already got their value out of the deal. They're getting $70 million over 10 years. Ooh. So, they're not. Providence is the sponsor for the next decade. If you're hoping for that, that's one thing that I, cause I'm not the voice of this for the Alliance Council. I let other people take the lead on Alliance Council, cause I have my voice, the Gorilla FC, to do this. And, my thing the whole time has been, we can't go backwards. Like, you can complain about the Sounders having it, but it's not going away. They made the deal. What matters to me now moving forward is that they live the values that they profess to have. I was in a meeting with a bunch of people from Providence, and it was a little painful as they you know, did their talking points. And my big takeaway is just what we need to do is hold the Sounders to a standard of that we find acceptable. You know, they won't, I'm sure they won't make this mistake again, but this is who we got. It's not going to change. So where can we go from here? I think it's to make sure that they implement the programs that they couldn't bring out into the public yet. And they've talked a little bit about some of the stuff they're doing with Renton High School and Renton School District. That's going to be really awesome stuff, but you know, Renton School District is not ready to run those programs yet. So that's surrounding mental health for children, high school students specifically. And, you know, I've made clear to them that what I want is when these laws come up again, that they use the power of the team, whether it's its voice or its money, to require these hospitals to give this to give the care that they're not giving and that they can't. You know, whether or not they can do that, because I don't know the contract. I don't know. But that is my goal, because this it was up in the last legislative session of Washington State. There's already been some stuff passed on it that would require these hospitals to give that kind of care. But it has not gone through to the point the minor ones have not, because what they can do right now, and this is what Providence does, is they outsource it. They'll send you to Planned Parenthood to get the care instead of them doing it. But they should be doing the care. So I've seen a lot of derogatory stuff about the Catholic Church throughout this process. You know, I went to education in the Jesuit tradition. So I've seen, there's a big broad brush that people use with the church. And I don't think people understand that the local church is in favor of all the stuff we want. Like it's the
Jesuit Catholic is
especially Jesuits. Yeah. But most, I mean, in Seattle, like I know plenty of, and over my time, I've met plenty of priests, including Jesuits, and they're all, believe the same good stuff that we believe. So, I think there's a problem overall with organizations like this, not providing care, especially when they keep eating up all the other hospitals. So yeah, let's just keep the Sounders' feet to the fire and make sure that good comes from this, because they're not giving up that much money.
That's true.
You know, it's interesting. It's on the cover of the Seattle Storm jerseys, and no one has said a peep.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's on the front. They replaced Swedish a few years back. Same org, obviously.
Yeah. Well, that actually was another Combat Wombat Esquire comment, but I wanted to follow up real quick. Is that that to me, that point you said, it's like, yeah, they could do all this stuff in Renton, that's great, there's good things that you can do, but ultimately the reason this is even a topic is the fact that you don't give that care or treatment equally to everybody, and that to me is the issue, right? You can do it's the same as, like, and I'm gonna bring F1 up as an example. All this efforts to be green and save, like, different types of fuel, and we're going to use less tires because we care about the environment, and we're going to use less gasoline. We have hybrid engines now for the last, 9 years? But you still and are increasingly doing more races in petrol states. So, a bit hypocritical. But you mentioned Swedish, which is actually when I picture a Storm jersey, I picture Swedish. So I didn't know they changed, but Combat Wombat said, I've heard rumors also that Providence is considering using the Providence Swedish or just the Swedish branding for future shirts.
We are using Providence Swedish already. Our last two theme tops, including the Pride top, had Providence Swedish on the back.
Yeah, but more specifically, it still says Providence right in front, right?
Right, but they are using dual branding. What they said was, you know, one's a national brand, one's a local brand, which from their perspective makes sense. I mean, I think where there should be is, because lots of teams in the MLS have medical type sponsorships, I think we should talk about sports washing, not right this moment, but in general, we need to have a societal conversation about sports washing and, you know, why are these hospital spending money on sports jerseys to, you know, it's to create goodwill in times where they are not doing good things necessarily.
Yeah. Raze Jose always has some stuff for us to talk about here. And let's keep it around. We'll do his number one and number four. His number two, three, and five are all Sounders related. Number one, Messi to MLS going to change the MLS future. Do you think it's a positive or negative change? I think we've kind of talked about this when it was first announced, but I think we can recap it real quick.
Yeah, I mean, I think overall positive. I mean, it's bringing, I think there's a lot of people out there with bad takes, like, oh, it's showing what a joke the league is, you know, that they're just bringing in old retired players. But that's the thing, and most teams are not doing that. And Messi is still, he's not at the top of his game, but he's still like the best player in the world. Like, come on. So I'm thinking there has to be major roster changes moving forward, because they want more players like this to come in. And it's in you know, Miami at this point, I don't know if they're even going to make the playoffs. They're going to have to be really good. Of course, today they announced that they're about to finalize a deal to bring in Suarez. So they really already have. Yeah. So,
so wait, did you? There's two other Barcelona players. Who are they again? Busquets.
Yeah, Busquets and Jordi Alba, and now they're now Suarez.
They're gonna have Suarez, so, Jordi Alba, Busquets, and Messi.
Suarez was supposed to sign for the Sounders. Craig Weibel talked about this the other day, and he ended up choosing his hometown club instead of us. He's going to play for league minimum for all those months leading into the World Cup just to get time. So that would have been real cool to have him here for a short time. Someone was like, what if he bites people? I'm like, good. I want a good goal to bite ratio. But
ratio.
Yeah. So he's going to, they're bringing in Suarez there too. So they're basically rebuilding a 10-year-old Barcelona team. And the funny thing is they are so far in last place, that they're going to have to do some work to even make the playoffs. But if they make the playoffs, I think we probably will be hosting Messi and company at the MLS Cup final in Seattle.
That'd be fine. No. So I think there's 10 matches left for the – I feel like everyone's going into League's Cup, which is Raze Jose's next one. So a little hint there. But so does everyone – do you know we'll have 10 matches remaining after League's Cup?
Seems right, yeah.
Okay, it seems only fair, right, to even everyone up, but it's MLS, so nothing is fair when you can sign Barcelona circa 2012. Interesting. Anyway, League's Cup opinion, can we reach the final? Raze Jose asks.
Sure. I'm doubtful because we're playing Salt Lake at Salt Lake this coming Saturday. And we can't win in Salt Lake.
That's like FC Dallas in Seattle. They can't win.
Yeah. So if we can get 3 points there, which we don't need, but then we have to come home and play Monterrey, which is not going to be easy either. So can we win it all? Yeah. If we get our players back and play like we have, that if our team plays like the talent we have on the field and on our roster, we can easily win it. We're still one of the better. That's the thing. For all the crap that we've been throwing on the field, we're still third place in the West. Like, we're still, I think, fourth in the power rankings.
MLS. We'll get to that. We'll get to Sounders. I have an opinion about that, and we've kind of talked about it before about how lucky we've been table wise. But I might have read this wrong. Sorry, Raze Jose. League's Cup opinion, and can we reach the final? So what's your general opinion on the League's Cup? Have we talked about that?
Oh, no. I mean, I think I'm for it for a few reasons. One is, if we want to get the best players in the region, we have to be the better league. And the only way we're going to do that is by showing that we're beating Mexican teams time and time again, because their roster's size and their salary cap is so much higher than ours, like ridiculously higher. So it'll be I like the idea of it. I mean, I think it was fun last time when it was just like a mishmash of teams, but having all the teams in here is pretty cool.
Yeah, I haven't really looked at the structure of it because it's a different pool of teams, nearly 30 for MLS.
Right. So it's top two from each group go through, and then it just goes into a format where you.
But can... they're evenly spread out, right? Because obviously we're playing Real Salt Lake, so it's not like it's MLS versus Mexico or Liga MX. Mm-hmm.
But and every game every game versus a Mexican team will be at home for us because we would. It's all the games in the United States, and they're not doing. I thought they would do neutral sites for those games, but they're not.
Interesting. Well, yeah, I'm for it, and I think that was the right time to do something like this. Obviously, like you said, they did the miniature version last year, but I think with us winning CONCACAF last year, and there's been an MLS team in the final for the last few years, right? There's one. Was there an MLS team in the final the year before us in 2021?
In CONCACAF?
Yeah.
Or in
LAFC this year. Us last year. I feel like LAFC was in it Well, either way, there was another team. But people are yelling at their speakers. But, now's the right time. Week. Yeah. But now's the right time, especially you get signings like Messi. And, like, that's definitely going to create a ripple effect on how the structure of the league is. Because we can't just allow that to happen and then not change things for other teams, right? That's clearly something's going on behind the scenes that are twisting up rules and salary figures and whatever like that. It's right. It's not how it was, but that's not what the league wants. The league wants to grow, and there's going to be Beckham things that happen, right?
I wouldn't expect them to happen to us though. That's the thing is we're not Miami, Atlanta, New York, Los Angeles, or Los Angeles.
But the ability whether or not we're the type of club that will do things like that is one thing. But to have...
Yeah. I worry that we're going to become the Seattle Mariners where we refuse to spend to win the championship. We're just happy making it to the playoffs if we can.
Well, we've only missed the playoffs once, and we have two championships domestically. We have a... We'll call it an international trophy, and I'm just gonna say U.S. Open Cups. Mariners have jack shit. So I get what you're saying, but in a very short time, comparatively, we've actually won some stuff. So
it's because we were one of the haves, and we no longer are. We no longer can
compared to the rest of the league. Yeah, Deuce was a have,
and we compared to the rest of the league. We're still a have, but compared to those teams, we're never going to be able to outspend them. So we have to build rosters in a different way.
I don't know, man. The way climate change is going, we're going to be a tropical climate. Lots of people are going to be traveling here to enjoy that 75-degree January weather. We're going to be the hot spot. It's going to be a desert south of Portland, basically. So we're going to be a hot spot. And I think the last thing, and I will make this actually our break song instead of the usual Sounders fight song, we're gonna do the MLS season pass theme song as our break music so you can get an opinion about it. But did you listen to it when I sent it to you?
Was that what you tried to play over your thing?
Yeah, we tried to do it over the
it was, to me it was pretty
soundboard
awful.
It's basically just sounds like they put a microphone in the stands of a game. Oh, you just hear clap, like thumping and clapping. And I never really, I think it's just so blah that I've never actually thought I was listening to anything that was composed by anybody. I just thought it was just random sounds they were playing while I'm trying to watch the Sounders on Apple TV. Are you listening to it now?
No.
Oh, okay. Anyway, I don't think it's like bad, but it's so blah. So
Apple TV, which still doesn't work on Android after a month. They still have not fixed it. Good job, Apple. Good fucking job.
Anyway, this is Paul who said MLS season pass theme song and dropped it in our mailbag. So basically asking for our opinions, I guess. So my opinion is blah. Don't even make it. Is it even a theme song? Or is it just an intro song?
Strike me as iconic the way that like NBA on NBC or NFL on Fox. Like we need some iconic music that will be remembered. This isn't it.
Basketball.
This is not that.
Basketball.
Speaking of which, shout out to Dickie V, who has gotten cancer again and is
third time
fighting it. Yeah. So it's a real bummer. He's such a influence in terms of like growing up and it's got to be the shoes, baby. All that stuff.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, I'm going to play that sound from MLS Season Pass. Form your opinions. We'll see you on the other side and talk about some Sounders. Okay. Hope you enjoyed that music. This sounds a little bit better. Numero dos. It's Spanish for my next beer.
Spanish for the Nino.
The Nino. All right, Sounders. Sounders. We played Vancouver. What, a week and a half ago?
We should have recorded after Vancouver. That would have been such a joyous
podcast. Yeah, it's been a while since we've been happy on the show.
that would have been like, I was so excited because I didn't think about the fact that we had All-Star stuff. And so I was just like, oh, we're going to talk about you.
For sure. So here, 10 seconds. What happened to Vancouver?
We fell behind. And then Brad Evans sat down and talked to me about his goals and dreams in life and asked about where I lived. And then we scored a bunch of goals and won. Thank you, Leo Chu.
Oh, that's right. You watched it with Brad, didn't you?
Yeah, I watched it
with Brad. Oh, you mentioned that in the last show. Oh,
yeah. Cool. So
how was that?
Super fun.
Talk about that.
Yeah, it was super fun. Brad, of course, is a really nice guy and, you know, wacky. And he's off jumping into, because it was on a house right on, in Burien, right on the Puget Sound. So he was jumping in the water off. And mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah. We got to see his dreamy abs for sure. And you know, he's an awesome guy. I'm around him a lot. And by a lot, I mean, you know, I'm in the same vicinity talking to people with him 3 or 4 times a year. And that's the first time we've had a real conversation. So that was super cool. And, it was enjoyable and, you know, shout out to Tim, who is Carmen, the vice president of Alliance Council's fiance, for inviting me. He got that at the gala for Rave Foundation and, just super fun. So yeah, I really enjoyed hanging out with Brad and really hanging out with a bunch of people and watching soccer together. And it didn't start out so great.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was all right. That's the kind of match that we have not seen this year, other than that one, right? But that is a kind of match that we've seen in our championship years, right? Yeah. Teams are going to score goals on us. Whether it's 1, 2, 3, they're going to happen. We're not going to go a whole season without giving up a goal, right? When those goals happen and how we respond is what builds character. We've always considered us to have a team that has strong character, will, and they do. And I'm not saying they don't right now. They're not showing it, but we have a lot of the same players that have come back from deficits to tie and win matches. There's tons of them in our MLS history. That was refreshing to see. To not struggle to find the net, to continue doing our vroom vroom Mazda engine that we talked about on the last show. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
How we talked about like our offense actually just rotating like a hurricane almost. Just everyone moving and playing and communicating well. And they did it again. So that it felt really good to see that.
It was the first time I had fun watching the Sounders in quite some time. It was also the last time I had fun watching the Sounders, but that's a different story.
Yeah. Let's see. I had a note here. Did you hear, or did you, I guess you were talking to Brad, but shout out to you so handsome guy that was sitting next to the cameraman.
Yeah.
Or the guy with the mic, but
it was, you know, it was like one of the standing mics that just records the crowd. So he was into it. Yeah. It I read about
right
it on
in
Twitter
the of that.
And saw it because of that, you know, I guess it was better getting Yamar than getting Nuhud like we did this last match, which is why we didn't win. But you know, it's okay.
So what was the final score? Refresh everyone's mind.
If I'm remembering correctly, I think it was 3-2, right? We were down 2-1. We were down 1-0 and 2-1, and we came back and won 3-2. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. I do believe. We got 3-2. Yep.
One of only two or three matches in the last couple months, or more than that, for quite some time.
Same
last,
thought. Yep.
What, 4 or 5 months where we've scored more than one goal?
That is correct. That is correct. Oh, I forgot they scored two for a second. I was like, damn. Yeah, the Gold guy. So, Veselinovic in the 24th minute gets a goal, assisted by their DP, Gold. And then Leo Chu, baby, assisted by Jackson Reagan.
Yeah, Jackson had a great game there, mm-hmm. and continues to be pretty good.
That was the 60th minute.
Yeah.
And then they answered to go up 2-1, 72nd minute. Gold again. Then Leo Chu assists by Jackson Reagan again. 4 minutes later in the 76 to tie it up. Hell yeah. I'm like reliving. This just seems so long ago. It's been a week and a half. Sometimes, normally, this is like our last game. But yeah, we've done three of them. Yamar, Gomez, Andrade. Oh, that's right. God, that was such an exciting match. It was just fun. There's red cards. By the way, I don't understand their coach. He seems like a very nice guy. Love the support. It was a pride match for Canada. They do pride a little later than us. So I think it was an ally shirt, community. It's great. Seems like an awesome dude. I don't understand. Just looking at him, I don't get him as a human being. He looks like a puppet, a Muppet.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't understand. I just look at him. I'm like, are you a human being?
He's a good coach. I'll say that much. I guess. So, yeah.
Anyway, and another me judging people by the way they look. This is a comment on both San Jose and Vancouver supporters. And I think I've said this before, that the Southsiders all look like 14-year-olds. Every single damn one of them. Did you notice that?
Yeah, we're...
Is this literally an after-school program that comes and says that the Southsiders, they all look 14?
Shout out to Curva Collective and all of the awesome supporter groups for Vancouver. Southsiders, yeah, whatever.
Okay, well, I'll make fun of them and you shout them out. And then San Jose.
No, I'm not shouting out Southsiders. I'm shouting out the other groups.
Oh, okay. San Jose Ultras. I thought there was just a few times where some of people unfortunately took their shirt off and just were being belly people. But I didn't know that was actually a thing. And they were showing their stands and like 50% of the dudes are belly out. And I'm like, okay.
San Jose Ultras are awful. They've always been awful. When we first started, my buddy was a member. And for the first year, he was allowed to hang out with me. The second year, he could hang out for a little bit. And then by the third year, he was not even allowed to spend time with me when coming to Seattle. And it's like during the match, I get it. But yeah, so even the other supporter groups in San Jose hate the Ultras. So,
well, why are they the number one? Why are they the ECS? They got their stand.
Yeah. The other supporter groups sit away from them in San Jose, somewhere else.
San Jose, a fun place to be.
I mean, I am a fan of San Jose. I live technically in Santa Clara, where that stadium is in Santa Clara. It's not in San Jose. I like that little stadium. It's fun. It's a really great soccer specific stadium. They have the scoreboard there that has it's double sided, so you can go out on the other side, get food from one of all the food trucks out there, and sit down and have a little picnic with your family, like at halftime or before the game. Like it's pretty cool. I'm a big fan of that place.
Okay. All right. So Vancouver 3-2. Great team win. We were down. We tied it. We're down again. Second half, we come back. Stoppage time, 91st minute. Hell yeah. Go to win the game. That's how you leave Canada. Then last Wednesday. Was it last Wednesday? It was last Wednesday. San Jose. We just talked about their stadium, their supporters, but we looked really, really good. It looked like the second half of Vancouver without the goals. Right? So what?
You're saying the San Jose game?
Yeah, I thought the first half we looked good. Mm. We weren't putting the ball in the net, but it felt like these. I have notes here, so this isn't hidden behind. I was putting these down for the first time ever, watching from home. I was like, hey, I have a thought.
I was watching from the Alliance Council meeting. We called it to call. We ended the meeting right beforehand and sat in the 90 and watched the game inside the 90 on the big screen.
Oh, cool. I lost where I was at. Where am I thinking? Yeah, so Yamar did not have his best game. I will say that. Not at all. And I thought Obed broke his arm.
Oh, I mean, the only thing I can think is
I couldn't watch the replay.
Because he's a young teenager. His bones are a little less rigid than the rest of us. Because
like he was just came out of the... Oh, man.
Holy cow. Yeah, he especially when they showed the slow motion the last time. Yeah, that thing looked broken.
Well, he was laying on the ground, not moving his forearm.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's broken. And I'm not watching this replay. I'm like, there's been too many replays of sports where turns my stomach. That's my like one thing. That
yeah. might,
like
yeah. That for me
that was started, a chair, not me farting.
The Super Bowl between when Tim Crumry, the lineman for
didn't say we have to talk about injuries.
Yeah, I'm just saying that was one they showed on TV over and over again in the Super Bowl, Tim Crumry against the 49ers. And ever since then, yeah, I will not watch it. That one looks bad. It seems
socially now they aren't doing, they're not showing replay. They'll show the initial one and then, or they'll say something like, for those
if they know stomachs, they're hurt. They don't always know, yeah.
Well, no, I mean, but they will say like if they know they're hurt, yeah. Anyway, but again, we owned possession. I thought we had a lot of confidence. Man, and I didn't know this stat. They put it up. We are second in MLS in possession. And if you leave it at that, people are going to argue, well, how much is that in your defensive third? We're first in completed passes in the opponent half in the league. That's fucking crazy considering we're not scoring goals. And we didn't score a damn goal in this match. And they brought those stuff in the game because we were doing that in the game. We were owning the ball, and we were owning it in their half.
In the first half.
In the first half, yes.
Right. I think we should put a pin in that point, though, until the next game, because that's where this is going to be truly evident about how good we are on possession.
Well, they did. At the point I made this note, I think it was still nil-nil. But there was a goal that was called back. That San Jose scored for offside that harkened back to our last episode. We were talking about the new VAR rules or the not VAR, the offside rule, whereas your last body part keeps you onside versus your first body part makes you offside, right? Is that
the one they're trying out in a couple leagues. Yeah, three leagues.
Yeah, Germany and somewhere else. So that last that goal would have counted. It was like a perfect example of that's what they're trying to do. So I thought that was interesting. Made me think about it. All right, lead us into FC Dallas.
So we drop 2 points at San Jose. Oh, we lost that game. We dropped 3 points at San Jose. Mm-hmm. And that was not a must win, obviously, but a must tie because of where they are behind us in the standings. And then we come into Dallas, making this a must win game. They are again right behind us in the standings. Not right behind us; they're a couple games down, but they're all bunch up right there. And come in for the Bruce Lee match, which was super awesome. I loved all the pre-match stuff. They actually had an orchestra out there playing the themes from Enter the Dragon.
Enter the Dragon. Yeah.
Yeah, which was super cool. That's one of my favorite movies. So I was loving that. And of course, even on Bruce Lee Day, you had people complaining on Twitter that they're wearing Bruce Lee jerseys again, and not the green that looks like we've been run over. And
hey, so, I thought you liked the new kit.
Yeah, I like it fine. I don't I don't love green.
That was my initial reaction. You're like, I don't know about that.
I just don't like the green jerseys. Like, we always have green. I'm over it. But more importantly,
we're the Sounders, so that's good.
We come out and look awesome. And yeah. I think first 15 minutes we kind of settle in, and then they have a little bit of possession, and then we put on one of the most dominant performances I've ever seen from the Sounders, where over a 5-minute period, we had possession for 4 minutes and 50 seconds. 98%
of the didn't know that.
Oh, it was wild. So we absolutely dominated, but could not get the ball in.
Did the ball go out of bounds? It was a goal kick. And for that, like 8 seconds, we didn't have possession.
No, they had possession for the other part. So,
well, that's what I mean. That eight seconds, was it in the air?
I mean, it's just crazy. You look at this team, and if we could finish, we would be dominating the league. We just look so much better than all these teams.
Dominant would be an understatement. And the fact that we're sitting in third right now, that's current. Is that right?
Third? I believe so. Yep.
All right. You double check that, say I'm wrong, if I am. But the last, we've scored more than one goal 2 times since April 1st.
We did drop to 4th on behind Salt Lake.
Okay. So last time we
April
scored.
April 1st. Yeah.
So we've only had, what was it? It was Charlotte and then Vancouver just a week and a half ago. And Charlotte was a month ago?
Mm.
So April 1st. It is July 18th.
Yeah.
If we don't score 2 goals, granted there will be a month off basically. And I'm talking about MLS goals because we did score multiple goals in the US Open Cup against San Diego or whatever. But in terms of MLS, that is insane. It was 5-4.
Yeah, who did we lose to in the was it LA Galaxy? I don't remember.
We lost Galaxy. Yeah, we went down there.
That was like the bottom of the barrel for us. I forgot.
Yeah.
I blacked it out. Yeah. I mean, here's the thing.
But think about that. We haven't scored only 2 games. We scored multiple goals since April 1st over 3 months, and we're in third place. So if we were scoring multiple goals in just a handful of other matches, just a handful, pick 4, 3, we'd be first and then some.
But what's the difference in this last game against Dallas compared to all the other games this season? What's new since April?
What's new since April?
Yeah. What was added to our roster that made us look the best we've looked all season?
Well, I mean, Christian.
Christian changed everything.
He's played since April.
But not like that.
Yes.
He came back hungry and fiery.
Yeah.
Like, it's because wasn't it mid-April when he got hurt?
Yeah, it was just before Portland. The Thursday before Portland is when he was pulled.
Right. So this was his first back, like
16, 17.
All the way ready to go. So. You saw Leo trying to hit players on that secondary run that he always makes. Like, we're going to be really dangerous if we can play like this. And it was really exciting. I just don't know. How do we get everyone on the field? That's my big question. Maybe that's a discussion for a bit, but wow.
Well, it literally is a discussion we need to have because someone asked it. Let's get into
real quick.
Some our scuttlebutt for Sounders. Yeah, real quick. Go ahead.
Kind of upset. You know, we looked fine in both games. We were not good in the second half, though. But dropping 5 points out of a potential 6,
it's big.
With those teams that are right behind us, that could be a turning point in the season. This is what we've been talking about.
Yeah, and that is the fact that we're at fourth now, whatever. And the fact that we're at fourth means we're dropping. We didn't seem to be dropping really, really. First, second, I don't really consider dropping this early in the season if you're just hanging up there as the top two. But the performances we've been putting in have been lackluster. We've been critical of them instead of celebrating the matches, even though we're hanging out near the top of the table. That shows that we're not playing well. We all know this. We're not scoring well. We all know this. So now I think I mentioned this 2 episodes ago, that that's not sustainable. We are on the fence. We are going to start plummeting. And it is not like there's a gap. And don't get me wrong, I'm not concerned about missing the playoffs, but if we continue playing like this, we won't make the playoffs, even with the new format. If we play like this, we won't. We will plummet. So something does need to change, but it doesn't seem like we need to ship four people out and bring four people in.
No, we have what we need. We won't. Yeah, I hope. But, you know, Austin's 4 points behind us, but they have a game in hand. San Jose is 4 points behind us, but they have a game in hand. Vancouver is 5 points behind us. They have two games in hand. Dallas and Houston are right down there. They have. So, I mean, if we drop the first couple back from the Leagues Cup break, we very well could be in 10th or 11th place. I mean, Minnesota has two games in hand. Granted, we're 10 points ahead of them. But also, on the other note, although St. Louis does have a game in hand on us, we are only 5 points behind them. So at this point, anything's possible. And if we go into this Leagues Cup and bring it all together, which is what I think is going to happen, I don't know if we're going to advance because we have to play at Salt Lake. But if we get, you know, these two games in and figure out a way to advance, I could see us making a good run and then coming out just firing down the stretch.
Okay, I can see that. One last thing I want to say about FC Dallas is we didn't score a goal.
That's right. Yeah, that.
It was 1-1 draw, but we didn't score.
FC Dallas
scored twice.
That shot from that defender was beautiful. If he was a striker into opposing goal, like, that was a great shot. It was super impressive. He just happened to be kicking it into his own goal.
Yeah, legit. And actually, it was this match, right? The goal of the year, possibly.
Their other goal? I don't recall what it was.
Wasn't it the volley from like 24 yards out? Or was that?
That was San Jose. That was San Jose.
Oh, you're right. Okay. Now I don't even remember this one is. All right. Come on, go.
It was a header where Nuhu was running along with him, and instead of staying with him and playing defense, went, "Oh, I'm going to head the ball," and left the man alone one-on-one with the keeper and missed the header and basically made it so that he could just head it right into the goal because Nuhu left the man. So that's what I meant when I said earlier we got Nuhu'd.
Welcome back, Stephen Fry. Sorry. All right, let's get into some scuttlebutt about the Sounders as we wrap this up, because it'll probably cover some things that I want to talk about as well in terms of what lineup do we do? Comments like you just made about Nuhu, like I am a little bit concerned about not even so much his performance, but his actions on the field. We've talked about him being petulant before, but there's a little bit more consistent. I don't like how he acts on the field. Is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
All right. So let me scroll up.
Let's talk about that. Tell me when you're ready.
All right. So how about, I want to start at the top here. Paul, since he was the first one to give us some scuttlebutt. And this was actually, about a week ago. So I want to give him a shout out for giving this to us. Actually, I feel terrible. San Jose and Dallas are tied by points. Which do we have a better chance against and why? Sorry, Paul.
Dallas is what I would have said. I would have said Dallas.
I would have too, because
going to San Jose is
going to San Jose. Yeah, exactly. I would have said that too. And actually, we should have focused on Dallas a little bit more. I did not like how long we kept. That's something we didn't talk about. How long we kept our.
We didn't rotate that much.
We didn't rotate very well. And Jackson actually talked about that on post game. Or was it Sounders FC Weekly? Either way, Jackson talked about it. Our friend. Patrick GC. What's our optimal starting lineup with everyone healthy? This is the... What is the purpose of life question? why are we here? This is cannot be answered.
He has
a follow-up to it, but...
We will never see our optimal starting lineup because Schmetzer will not play two forwards.
Okay, so that actually leads, should we switch to he says a 2-4-4, and I was like, no. And then I realized what he was saying. Morris and Rui Diaz up top with Chu on the left and Roldan on the right, Rusnak and Paolo in the middle, which he's just already saying he wants Nico as a super sub, which actually leads into another question. But I love that. I love that.
Yeah, Obed for Morris and make it happen.
Yeah, and why do we need two CDMs? Like the 4-4-2 is the staple, the standard, the something, the adjust.
I mean, here's why we play with two CDMs, and we've been doing it. Ozzy was special, so you didn't need to do as much. Yeah. But we've been doing it with Gustav, even though Gustav was as good as Ozzy. He's a legend in his own right. Mm-hmm. It's because
underrated sounder, by the way.
Oh,
he doesn't get enough love.
Yeah, he's one of the top five all time in my book.
And Ivan Schitt's too. I loved him.
He's not top five all time, but yes.
No, I wouldn't say agree. Top five, but yeah. I also think he was underrated. But yeah. Continue your thought.
But we play out of we treat our number six like the quarterback of the team and moves everything forward and is meant to make those through passes to the center attacking mid, left mid, right mid, who then can either play with it or cross it, because we don't usually play through the middle, into the forward.
We should.
We saw last match Rui Diaz dropping back a lot because he wasn't getting service. We also saw a team that was afraid to shoot. It felt like we were just like passing it around the top of the box, and
first an opponent half passes. And that's probably why
we're
the perfect shot.
And we were so good. Like, we looked amazing and couldn't score. So I, and to be fair, if that ball had gotten through to Christian, he scores. So it's not an own goal. Like, that part, it was wide open for whoever got the ball first to kick it into the goal.
That's not what the stats say, Cameron. The stats say it was an own goal.
It was an own goal.
I know. Yeah.
It was a great own goal, but
I'm saying that's what history is going to remember is that it's not what was going to happen. It's what did happen.
Right. So I just think that because of that's how we play, and here's the other thing is we're getting an optimal lineup minus Christian and Morris beforehand based on the players we had, and Schmetzer. I mean, there is even an interview with Rusnak, who said, you know, I'm glad that I can play in the center now. This is where I'm best. This is my position, and I'm looking forward to see what I can do. And then we're still not, even though he's center attacking mid, we're not playing him there. They're doing a diamond shift the whole time, which in theory is good, but it's not working. Ozzy, super sub, love it. Not Ozzy. Oh, gosh. Nico. Ozzy did sub on for Atlanta the other day while I was waiting, watching it at the bar, though, before the game. But yeah, Nico, super sub, love it. Like,
and he was one in this match. I texted you that. I was like, this is a perfect, I forgot what I said. Perfect opportunity to see what a super sub would look like.
Right. And that's what I want, because he is going to eat tired teams alive, even though it didn't really cool. So I think my ideal lineup is two at the top, you know, just switching from two center defensive mids like that. I think. I'm sorry. Who was it that made the comment in the Discord?
Patrick GC.
Patrick, you are very intelligent, and I agree.
Morris and Rui Diaz up top, two on the left, Rodon on the right, Rusnak and Paolo in the middle. Yeah, I think I'll be quick here because I want to keep moving. But I think JP is perfectly suited for the Ozzy role, the number six. There's no reason he needs any help back there if we're doing everything correctly. And we absolutely have the players that Patrick just mentioned that we agree on that will keep us passing the ball in the opponent's half, and we will get some shots off. I mean, with Chu dishing it, and Christian can certainly dish it. And he can dish it from the inside, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I want to see a little bit more out of Chu. Because I see when he cuts in, that's when it's kind of like, okay, this is wrecking ball time. Kind of like Nuhu, where it's like, he's not going to do anything with this other than fuck it up. Chu gets in there and actually does something.
Yeah,
But what he's better at is that swinging in curler from the left-hand side that defenders can't get a foot out in time for. That thing just...
But if he doesn't cut in some... Right, but if he doesn't cut in sometimes, then that's not dangerous because they're just going to run him to the line. So that's why.
I think once he does cut, he's just so like woohoo because he's that fucking technically good. He can beat anyone. Yeah. So I think he just needs to hone that in. He's really raw at dribbling in traffic like that and actually having it. He's the best one on the team right now that could do it anyway. So I want him to keep doing it. But right now we're getting better production.
I mean, in my mind, he's the best player on the team right now.
I wanted to tweet that out, but I was like, I'm not going to get back on Twitter in time to defend myself or cheer with my people that agree with me. I think right now he's the best performing player on the Sounders.
Yeah. And I also worry a little bit because he's out of contract after this year. And so he might need to take up a DP slot next year. So our roster next year is going to be very different one way or another. Hopefully we can get him at a TAM.
Yeah. I don't see Rui Diaz being a DP for us next year. We're going to have to figure that out.
Right. But if
we're going to have two more spots and then maybe more thanks to Messi.
Right. But if it's Rui Diaz and Nico and you're just replacing them with Chu,
Both those guys can go if that's what needs to happen to keep us up.
I think both might stay for less money.
That's fine with me. But as long as Chu stays and we're
need some DPs. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
we need Chu and actual performing DPs. We have very talented, still best top 10 in their position, but they have the skills to give them that status. They don't have the speed anymore to really dominate.
Especially not Nico. Nico's the slowest player in our team.
Yeah, and it shows. And I think that's what is allowing teams to kind of catch up defensively to form some fort of wall when we do have the possession. It's not helping the breakaway, is what I'm trying to say. And actually, number three, number three being Raze Jose's third question. Leo Chu should have been an MLS All-Star ? Since we were just talking about him.
Yeah, I think so. But here's the thing is the problem is when you only have, 18 players or whatever because of you're playing another team.
Yeah.
It makes it difficult.
Well, here's the thing. I don't really understand how MLS All-Star voting happens, if it was fan-based or not. We're not going to have a lot of fans of us right now. Or ever, because we're the
same. I mean, looking at the roster,
hasn't been consistently an all-star all season. He's had.
So it's voted and picked. Let's look at the roster real quick. Coach picked Christian Benteke from DC United. Dennis Buongo was voted in from LAFC. Christian Espinoza from San Jose. Jesus Ferrer from FC Dallas voted in. And then Kai Kamara was picked by the commissioner. Jordan Morris was voted in. And Georgios Giacoumakis from Atlanta was a coach's pick. So he's not getting in any of them. And if you wanted to put him at a midfield, even though they're considering wingers to be forwards here, he's not getting in over Thiago Almada or...
He's not in the top
Joseph Martinez, Aiden Morris, Hani Mukhtar. Getting in any of these players. So sadly, I mean, I love him. I think he's the best player on our team right now. But Mukhtar is so good, and he's likely going to become MVP again the way he's playing this year. And I just think about if he had come to the Sounders, like expected, what it would have been like.
Yeah. You know what's funny? So Jordan's the only one that made the All-Star game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Yamar is actually leading the league in interceptions by a good chunk with 54. Reyes has 47 for Red Bulls. Mascara and Nwodo, both from Cincinnati. Wow, they have 43 and 42 respectively. Hell no. But Yamar is number one by 7. And Stefan Fry, who missed 2 MLS matches, leads the league with 11 clean sheets to Celitano in Cincinnati with 9. And Sarong, Montreal. 9 as well. So Stephen Fry has 2 more clean sheets and has missed 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not in the All-Star game. Yamar's not in the All-Star game. Jordan Morris is probably because he's on the men's national team, despite the vitriol we hear about him and Christian.
Yeah.
So this is some Sounders hate. So that's why
I just don't know. If he
had enough assists, he wouldn't be in.
I don't still. Yeah. I mean, but even if you look at this players that were selected. People get voted in, but by the coaching staff. I mean, you got John Tolkien, who has 4 assists, which is one of the reasons he may get in, but he's a left back. Really, Tim Parker of St. Louis, who, you know, they're even better than we are defensively. And then Ryan Hollingshead, or I don't even know, Hollingshead? I don't know how you pronounce his name, but the dude from LAFC, who has been dominant, you know, again, a fullback. So the only one is the Philadelphia Union, Jacob Glesnes, I guess. I don't know how to pronounce that either, but he made it last year too. So Philly has only allowed 22 goals this year. There's not just not a lot of room there based on what the coaches get to pick because everyone else is voted in.
Yeah, I think keeper's pretty clear to me though. Maybe he didn't because he was on concussion in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean Roman Berkey was voted in from St. Louis FC. He's awesome. You know, he leads MLS with 76 saves and has a 75% save percentage, one of only 4.
I guess saving the ball is pretty important, too.
Yeah.
And then, I'm only and looking then, at one stat.
Then the coaches' picks were the New England goalie, who is second in the MLS in saves, and then the DC United, you know, it's in DC, so their goalie got in, which is one and only Tyler Miller, baby, the guy that would be our goalie if Fry weren't so amazing. So Tyler Miller made it in based on that. You know, I don't know if Fry would go based on his injuries that he had going on.
Yeah, no, and I'm just defaulting on everything I just said right now because I was like, I'm going off of one stat, but you brought up some great ones. Hey, let's end with this question because I think this is a good kind of way to end the show. Again, Raze Jose, number 2. What has been a positive and negative thing in the last 3 matches?
Positive is easy to me. It's that we've seen that we can move the ball and be goal dangerous out of possession. You know, it's not something you see in the MLS very often, where a team can dominate possession like we've been doing. Now it hasn't translated to goals yet, but it's to me, that is a huge positive that if we can put something together, we can make a nice little run here. How about you? What's your positive?
My positive is Christian Roldan is back. He will bring or help create or recreate the je ne sais quoi that this team does not have right now, both performance on the field. Like, how are we not scoring goals right now? Like, that, there's something missing, and he's going to unlock some things on the field to do it. And if not for anything else, he's going to also unlock whatever needs to happen in the locker room. I think he's a captain. I know Nico is, but so is he. Right? I'm not crazy. He wears the band.
Yeah.
My brain farting? Yeah. He's respected. He's one of the players on the team at this point, 2016. Yeah. And he backs it up. Like, his effort is never in question, ever. And not to say that Nico's is, but he has to slow down now because he's older. You don't see Christian slow down. You don't see him lose any battles. We saw how important he was even in this match, but he's just getting back. I think it's going to unlock a lot. That's the positive. Negative?
My negative? I mean, I'm not going to go with that we can't score goals because that's the obvious. I'm going to go with our inconsistent defensive play because I just don't I'm ready to move on from Nuhu. Like, I love Nuhu. I have a Nuhu jersey, but all the things you brought up before, and, you know, just like, why did he stop running with his defender? I know he's not a center back, but when you're in that position, you've just got to stay there. You can't fly back out. So it's frustrating to me. Because we could get some value for him, and we're not going to be able to make any other moves this summer unless we move someone. I would like to move on from Nuhu. Now, Craig Weibel has said people are calling for Nuhu. They want Nuhu. He's not answering the calls. So he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, unless we had an immediate replacement of would need to be his skill level, in my opinion. And that in defense, I was going to say we're not scoring goals, but if you don't want to say that because it's so obvious.
Man, I would.
We both already said it, so
yeah. No, I would put Cody Baker in his position and upgrade it another position. To be honest, at this point, I think we would get more value mm-hmm. out of a. I don't even know where you put that money though. A striker, I think we get more value out of a striker that's worth as much as he is.
Which makes what we were just talking about 5 minutes even more difficult. With our Patrick GC formation.
Yep.
Anyway, I'm going to go with defense as well. Maybe not so Nuhu centric, even though we didn't really get to talk about it as much. But yeah, I do. There's something going on there, and but across the defense, like Jackson Reagan's been our best performing. Alex has looked shoddy at a few times. Yamar has looked like he's had some sketchy. He has had sketchy moments more than I'm used to seeing. Nuhu seems a little bit more annoyed. Like he always has the right idea on the field and is upset when it's not happening that way, like to other players. Like, why didn't you pass it here? And he's just both hands flashing to the ground. I've seen that more often than I normally have. So there doesn't seem to be a consistent, like they look together. Now we have 11 clean sheets. So maybe more. We had one with Anakin Skywalker, right? Our keeper, yep. Cleveland. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and even the game against San Jose, I don't think either of those goals. Even against Vancouver, I don't think those goals were their fault. It was Cleveland played great.
But there's moments happening on the field like we're like this could break at any moment. Like it seems that way, but it's just like we're third now, fourth on the table, and we complain about our quality on the field every single week. So. Back to the positive, Christian Roldan's going to fix all that. he's going to wake them up on the back line, and he's going to unlock things.
Can I tell you something?
Going forward. Yes.
For the first time ever, I'm not excited to go to Sounders games. And I kind of feels like a waste of time to me.
You know, I don't judge you for that. I'm not going to because
I want to. The Sounders are like my favorite thing ever. The Sounders are my everything, right? Like when I'm not in a relationship,
there's a life size Freddie Montero holding the CONCACAF Champions League cup above
right behind
your head,
me.
Right? Yeah.
When I don't have a significant other and someone to share my life with, like I have the Sounders, and that's what brings me the most joy. And it's not doing it right now, man. It's a bummer.
Mm-hmm. I can.
I want it to.
No, I can understand that. I've had reasons to not be at the matches as much as I used to, and as much as I used to was every single one because I lived on Spring and Bourne, and I loved that walk down, stop at Bartels, get some pocket shots, get some bubbly. This is like before seltzers were popular, like the non-alcoholic mm-hmm. ones, just the normal ones. Before this was 12, 13 years ago. So I'd get like those ice plastic bottles. You know, they're called ice, and they're like raspberry, strawberry, watermelon. Get a couple of vodka shooters, chug half of that, throw them in the bottle. Happy walk all the way down Madison by the Renaissance. Just the whole way down. Just loved it every single weekend. Especially Saturday night games when the nights were less prevalent as they are now. Those were always fun. Now I have a house up in Everett, a wife, a kid. It's a rarity that I get to go to the games. And I went to this last one, and I wasn't as hyped as I thought I would be to go. After seeing like the San Jose match, knowing how important this match was and not having the confidence in the team, and then shit, look what happened. Like, that is kind of a bummer. So I don't judge. I don't. But this is like a relationship, right?
It's
a
relationship. Yeah. There's
we
it
love
gives
them.
And takes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Here's
it's not like we're gonna break up with them. We can't. They're family.
No.
And we're just the last, mad at them right now.
The last game was fun. Like, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm bummed that we dropped 3 points, but that is maybe the most dominant, especially that 5 minute period, is the most dominant we've ever seen a Sounders team ever.
Mm-hmm.
It just frustrates me that we continuously cannot live up to that standard. And of course, you're never going to always be at your height, but we seem to never be close.
We don't want to be consistently not at it, right?
Right, right.
We should be like the Cascades, baby. Multiple peaks.
The Mariners aren't making the playoffs, and I'm still more interested in going to watch them at this point because the Sounders are just letting me down.
Which is saying a lot. Because it's not like the Mariners are. And by the way, I bet Nicholas Biella just smiled when he heard me talk about the Cascades that way and compared them to the Sounders. He's a little mountain man. Shout out to the Sounders for the pregame, actually, for the Bruce Lee match. And Shannon Lee, his daughter, killing it on the mic.
Oh, I had no idea she could sing.
Yeah. I had no idea what the whole anything was going to be. I thought it was normal pregame stuff. And then they said that. I was like, told my wife, who wanted really just to get out of that. And she came to the match with me. And shout out to my friend Tor, OG Scuttlebutter. But his tickets, his girlfriend was there, brought my wife. We had like an adult evening, and they're very rare, few far between right now. So we had a lot of fun. And I mentioned that to her, and she's Sounders fan adjacent, and she's adjacent to me, right? She supports the fact that I support them, but she doesn't put any of her personal time into them. So she's just there for the evening. But when I told her that, she was like, oh, that's really cool. And it's really cool. But yeah, I didn't know she could sing.
Yeah, I luckily got to watch a good portion of the show beforehand while I was setting up and they were practicing. So.
And this is also cool. Actually, I don't know if this would have been broadcasted on MLS Season Pass. That portion and like pregame anything.
I don't know.
They probably show a clip or something
because it's cool looking, but yeah, probably not showing the whole
thing. I would hope that they did because that was a kind of thing that you'd want to showcase internationally.
Yeah.
That we have clubs doing stuff like this with people like this that have affiliations to international superstars of years past, like legendary human beings, Jimi Hendrix, Bruce Lee, like that's pretty fucking cool. That is a good reason to have internationally broadcast games every fucking week.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope they were able to showcase a little bit of that. Otherwise, they missed it. Let's not miss the port. We've got an hour and a half into this show, one of our longest ones, but it has been quite a lot. Do you have any final thoughts before we tell them where Instagram and Twitters are?
Yeah. I think the Leafs Club is coming at the right time, and it's gonna get the ship back going here for us.
It's gonna right the ship.
That's the phrase I was looking for. Thank you.
We got it. We got to get nautical terms right. We're scuttlebutt. All right. Well, I guess my final thought would be, and I'm gonna throw a question at you. How do you think Saturday against Salt Lake's gonna go? Is that Saturday?
No. Yes.
Yeah.
It's okay. Saturday. Yeah,
this is the first of the League's Cup.
What was our result down there last time? Did we lose 1-0 or did
I don't know about last time, but I know that we don't play well. We've already mentioned it, but what's your prediction?
Oh gosh, I would say 1-0 Salt Lake.
Really? Okay.
I think it's all going to come down to the Monterey game here.
Yeah, you know what? I think it's going to be another 1-1.
I'd take that.
I think it'll be a great goal. I think it'll be we shouldn't have given that one up, but I hope they score first and we get the tie later in the match.
Because it feels more like a realistic thing that's
going to happen. I don't want to say I hope any of that thing that shit happens. I hope we win 5-0 and Christian Roldan is carried off like Rudy. but I realistically think it's going to be 1-1. We're just going to have a better performance than with Dallas because it's going to be a hard match to win. Especially knowing it's the League's Cup. It's not a normal MLS match. This is like we're going to have to shift mentally like that in 1 week. I know we've known it's coming, but we haven't had the team together consistently with Alex being gone and Christian and Jordan and injuries, right, with Rui.
Yeah.
Yeah, so and new who with malaria? Fuck. forgot about that.
It's been a rough go of it.
A lot more children playing than we thought. We haven't been really consistent, so I think it's going to be a real shock to have everyone available in a totally different format for a totally different reason 1 week later. So, and if we score a lot of goals with all that change happening, mentally, physically, whatever, kudos to the coaching staff, kudos to the team, and we've figured it out now. But I think it'll be 1-1.
Awesome.
I'll take Inhale. All right, where can they find you? Oh, I said it first.
Okay. You can find me at Legal Minded Punk on Threads. You can find me Legal
Minded Punk. You got to it first. Damn it.
On Instagram. You can find me at Legal Minded Punk on Blue Sky. You can find me at Legal Minded Punk on Twitter.
Damn, I don't know what's Blue Sky.
Blue Sky was the one that the viable. I'm also on there's another one that came up right before that I am on. But Blue Sky was the one. It's basically like the Twitter API, but very
minimal. Are you just hedging your social platform?
Pretty much. I'm just getting my. I always do that.
Putting it all
out there.
You
got to get your handle right. And here's the thing is. Threads is so like dependent upon Instagram that I don't know if it will, unless they start going out and being more like Twitter. I don't know if it was. I mean, I'm not using it, right? I'm still using Twitter. I'm going in and retweeting some stuff, and I'm following the Seattle Orcas, who won their first ever game, which was very exciting. Our local cricket team this year, sadly, the games are not in Seattle. They have just a run of games, but. I think 2025 season, we'll have a brand new cricket arena over at Marymore Park for them to play.
Of course it's
Marymore Park. Just in time for the Cricket World Cup to come to the United States as well.
Of course it's Marymore Park. Okay.
Where can I find you?
I was going to say Threads too, because it was really easy to just create one.
Right, you just hit a button.
Yeah, and Randy showed me how to do it. Randy's my wife. So I am Aaron Lingley on Threads. I don't think I follow anyone or have any followers because I created it and then left the app and did something else. So I haven't really opened it up since. So if you want to go follow me, let's get it started. And then maybe we'll just shift shit over to Threads because it's mighty popular already. And
oh, is it? I'm not. I'm just like, yeah.
I heard it was like 30 million in the first day.
I don't know if people are using it, though. That's my question. But that's
true. That's true.
That's a story for a different time. I promised last episode, and I have not done it. So, James, before you take it to port, I want to say this. I will get us up and going on Instagram and thus Threads for this podcast.
Oh, cool.
Mainly so I can start sending you all these memes that I send to people that I enjoy, and I think you will enjoy some, but you can't watch them because you're not on Instagram.
I love it. Do it.
That's my main reason for doing it, is to be able to send you memes.
Yeah.
Love it. But I'll do it, and then people can interact with us.
Exactly. And you can't do as many F1 memes. Those still go to at Aaron Lingley.
Yeah, no, those are definitely at Aaron Lingley. Although, I wasn't going to post them. I was just going to shoot, DM them.
Fair enough. All right.
James, take it away.
You can follow the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at @SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
The Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.